So happy Father's Day to all of you dads. And it's a great day. Come on, give it up for all the dads and the grads. We should give it up for the grads double. Come on. Today I want to talk about faith for the race. And, you know, as I talk about faith for the race, you know, graduates, you guys are getting ready to, like, just, you're in the gates, like the horse that's just beating at the gates wanting to take off. Your whole life's ahead of you. And dad, sometimes you've been through a lot. And you've raised kids that are graduating, you've released kids, but you know, I just want to encourage you, dads, like, don't give up. You're still in the race. As long as we're on this planet, we're in the race. We're still in the game. There's no bleacher timeout for the rest of the season. I mean, sometimes we take a break, but you're back in the game. You still have game clothes on. And so I want to speak to the dads today. I was thinking about faith for the race and this race of faith. And I was just thinking about some of the races we used to do here at Summit. We used to put on mountain bike races in the day and back, and I was the race director. And, you know, we did Norba races, and they were quality races. We did really good races in North County before everybody, there was no Norba races in North County. You had to go to Big Bear. And then they started all catching on what we were doing, and it wasn't worth doing because there was too many of them already out there. But anyway, we did some races, and I was thinking of this one race, and oh my goodness, we had Life Flight, ambulances. Some people left the race in an ambulance. One left in a helicopter. And there were several people who left the race. And as a race director, I had to, like, you know, be a part of that, which was crazy. But thank God it all turned out well. The guy who was life flighted away, he was fine. And the guy that took off in the ambulance, he turned out fine. But I just want to tell you a little bit about how they ended up there, because it's kind of comical. Like, sometimes how do we get out of the race? And one of the guys, now I can, so it's years back, so I could say it. He took off from the start line, and he never got his bike equipment checked. So when he took off, his handlebars were loose. His handlebars totally went sideways, and he judo flipped right into the ground. Boom. Head plant. Boom. Right off the start, 100 yards into the race. He didn't do an equipment check. His equipment wasn't prepared right, and he was OTR. He was out of the race. And everybody else keeps going, and I'm over there with him, and the ambulance comes, and I'm like, Jesus, do a miracle, which he did, and the guy, you know, went to the hospital, and he was fine. But that's pretty hard to have a big old 250-pound guy, you know, just flip on your bike when the bike locks up, and he just, boom, face plant. Anyway, but part of the problem, and you can just, like, is because he didn't have his equipment right. I mean, the Bible tells us we are to be equipped. That's what I'm doing right now, is equipping you to finish the race. And as a race director, that's my job, is to make sure everybody gets around the finish line, and those that get sidelined, that we help, in this case, pray for them and get an ambulance to help them. Another guy, which was a really good friend of mine, many of you know that he was a bodybuilder, and his calves are like giant, and he borrowed my mountain bike, and he pushed. How many know there's a pace in the race? Everybody's in the race, and there's a pace, and you just got to get out there, and you can hold the pace, and you can win. If you go too fat, you know, there's a pace in the race. And his calves are so ginormous. I know it's not a word, but it sounded good. He actually got thousands of dollars for getting pictures of his calves. He was like Mr. Teenage America. And anyway, he borrows my bike. He goes out there, and he wants to, like, increase the pace of the race with those big old calves, and he busted the chain right off my bike. He comes back with my bike and his chain. Sorry, DJ, here's your bike back. I'm like, dude, really? You know? Anyway, lucky we had a repair kit thing there. They could fix it before I raced. I have my bike because he was racing before me. And anyway, he was out of the race because he wasn't really keeping the right pace. It was unrealistic pace. And he tried to push the bike with his muscles beyond what really was there. Are you with me? And so he's out of the race, and then there's another guy, and this one was kind of goofy because this guy, he, oh my goodness, he was showboating, and he's coming down, I think he was in first place, and he's coming down the steep downhill, and everybody's there, so he's speeding down the hill, and there's a raised manhole cover about 18 to 24 inches high, and this round sticking out of the dirt that you must go around, and he wanted to go over. So he goes to bunny hop the manhole, but his speed was going so fast, he underestimated his speed. So how many know you can get going in a race and the devil tries to stop you? But another way to stop a person is when they're coming at you is to use their own force against them to push them onto their face. And so he was going so fast, you know, like if someone's coming at you, you can sidestep them and then poof, they're on the ground because you're using their weight against them. It's just a fighting tactic. I'm sorry, I was used to be a fighter. So this guy's coming down the hill. He comes at the manhole. He's going too fast. He misjudged things. But he had a little pride going on. And I think pride took him out of the race because his back tire clipped the back of the manhole. He's bunny hopping it. Boom, judo flips another guy coming down a downhill. He was going fast. This guy's probably going probably 30 miles an hour. And he face plants into the dirt. That was the life flight. And he was not responding. And we went over there and I'm praying for him again. I'm like, what? This was a foolish move. I was a little upset as the race director because how many dads or moms have ever been upset that there was something that happened, a catastrophe, and it really did not need to happen? Your kids, that was like totally uncalled for. This wasn't an accident mistake. This was stupidity. But anyway, he was out of the race. And he was better. He recovered. We prayed for him and it didn't happen there. But in the hospital, within an hour, he was up. He was fine and he got out on his own. And that was awesome. But those were just some examples. And if I went random, sorry if I went too long. But I think God sometimes looks down at us in our race of faith. And sometimes he looks and he says, you did that because I tried to equip you and you ignored my equipping. And sometimes he's like, and that one, you just blew that one because your pride caused you to fall on your face. Because I give grace to the humble, but if you want to show me how you can do it all, I'm going to let you fall on your face. I'm going to heal you and take you back, and I'll pick you up and dust you off. But if that's the way you want to be, I'll let you be you. I don't want that. I want God's hand on me in the race. I want to finish. And some of us just push too hard, and we forget that Jesus is part of the equation. So every race has a pace, and Christianity is a marathon. It's not just something that we just start out full speed ahead and then you just burn out. We all have a destination, and when we run out of fuel, we stop short of the destination. Maybe you're in a vehicle and you're heading out, and you know, I always try to tell myself that, you know, that we're on our day off, and Teresa's like, slow down, and I'm like, because usually I'm always in a hurry, you know. Sometimes, guys, you think you're in a race and there's no one around you. You're taking off. It's like, there's nobody around you. You don't have to speed like that. We're on a day off. I have to think, okay, because we're always trying to get there first. And there's no one racing with us. We're there first anyway, slow or fast. And sometimes, you know, one time I put the wrong kind of gas when I was like 17 in a car, and it just like didn't work. I mean, you can't put diesel. I didn't put diesel, but you can't put diesel in a gas engine and expect everything to go well. And you can't take, you know, a high-performance engine. And anyway, just saying, stuff happens. You need to put the right stuff in. And sometimes people just give up. They're so close to the finish line. Like I was telling you a story of the person who swam to Catalina, and they could see the shore, and they gave up right before because the fog was so thick. Got in the boat, and you could see the shore. And she said, if I knew the shore was there, I could have made it. But sometimes we don't see the end of the finish line, but we need to reach our destination. And sometimes we just get sidetracked. Sometimes we just get off the path, and you find yourself in a strange place. Have you ever found yourself in a strange place? Everyone who's not lifting their hand, you're lying. You've been off the track. You've been there. You just don't want to admit it. You were like going, God, how did I get here? Get me out of here. Anyway, Hebrews 12:1 says, therefore, also, since we are surrounded by so great cloud of witnesses, lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us. Let's run the race with endurance. Amen. The race that's set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. So this race is a race of faith. Jesus is the author and the finisher. He's the beginning and the end. He's given us each a path because we have an individual race. And faith is that substance that we're destined to run on. You were created to be filled with faith. When you reject the fuel God created you to have, you can't run very good. Some people say, well, you know, I want to eat health food. All food is supposed to be health food. I'm switching to health. All food is health food. When you're eating things that aren't healthy, you're putting things in that are not destined and designed for this body to function on. Spiritually, we function on faith. We were designed to have faith. When we get to heaven, we will live on faith. We won't need the sun. We won't need, you know, the nutrition. I hope there's still Haagen-Dazs in heaven, but we won't need it, you know. And but, you know, faith is a substance we're designed to run on to get to our destination. When we peace out on faith, when we stop, when we cut off faith, when we stop feeding our faith, you know, faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Some of us, you can reject the word of God and stop reading and stop putting it in you. And you're just like trying to push your car around instead of putting fuel in it and driving it. And you're wondering why you're tired. And it's like because you're designed to run on faith. And in Christianity, some people are pushing their Christian car around and they're wondering why they're exhausted and I'm too tired to go to church. It's like, wait, that's like saying like you push your car past a gas station. I'm too tired to put gas in it. And he's still pushing. I've jumped out. Can I help you push your car? I'd be just ridiculous to watch him just keep pushing it past a gas station. I'd be like, hey, I'll pay for the fuel. And so, and the other one is quit. It shouldn't be in your vocabulary. Champions aren't those who never fail. They're those who never quit. Champions get back up again. The Bible says righteous fall, but they get back up seven times completely. We get back up. We don't stay down. God isn't looking for us to be those who never fail. Of course, we're going to fail. But we're supposed to be those who never quit. For all of us, and especially on this Dad's Day, we're supposed to finish well. Don't give up. So number one I want to talk about is step in, don't step out of the race. Step in, don't step out. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily entangles us. Let us run the race that is set before us. We're supposed to be in the race. We're in the race. And when we start thinking it's all about that, oh, I raised my kids, now they're off, now I just need to chill out and just like let them run the race. You're still in the race. May have a different pace, but you are in the race. Have you ever found you know yourself where you know you're off course and you got off your course's purpose? You know, Peter stepped out and he stepped off his path. And one time Peter, instead of stepping in, Peter stepped out. And I want to just look at Peter as a character to look at today. You know, Peter went fishing. In John 21, 1 through 3, it says, after these things, Jesus showed himself to his disciples at the Sea of Tiberias. In this way, he showed himself, Simon Peter, Thomas, the twin, Nathanael of Cana of Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two other of his disciples were together. Here's seven disciples. Peter and six of his homies, they're in a boat. And Simon Peter says in verse 3, Peter says, I'm going fishing. And they said, we're going with you. So now he's got seven disciples in a boat. They went out immediately, got into the boat, and that night they caught nothing. How many know when you go and you're off your path, sometimes you get skunked? Because God's not going to bless your fishing adventure when it's not God's adventure. Huh? I mean, how many parents are like, you know, clean up your room, and then your kids playing Nintendo or whatever they play, and you're like, oh, let me reward you for not doing what you're supposed to do. It's not usually what happens. There's usually a different response there. You know what I mean? How many of you in your class, last night I was watching, or yesterday I was here and I was watching the I don't even know what you call the class, but Ben's class, the Breakers, and they all wanted me to watch their dance. How many know if they would have just like walked away and not done the dance right in the middle of it, Ben wouldn't have gone, you did so good to abandon the rest of everybody. Are you with me? There was something they were to be attentive to, and Peter was out, and he had seven disciples, but these guys were fishing, all seven of them. They were supposed to be waiting for God's promise in Jerusalem. How many know they weren't supposed to be there? Luke 24, 49, behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you're endued with power from on high. Didn't see fishing in there. And I love fishing. Fishermen on Father's Day, go fishing on Father's Day. I love the outdoors. I hunt. I fish. I'm going to go to Alaska coho fishing in next month. Someone bought me a ticket. I'm like, hey, twist my arm. I want to go when you're supposed to go. But I also want to be on God's track when I'm supposed to be on God's track. There's a time for everything, and we need to make sure we engage. But they were supposed to be praying and waiting for the Holy Spirit. Now it came to pass that he blessed them and he parted away from them and he was carried up into heaven and Jesus goes up into heaven. All the disciples watched this. Peter was there and Jesus ascended and they were all like, oh, OMG, text everyone, put it on your Facebook, do whatever. He ascended. And what is the last thing he tells us? Go wait in Jerusalem. Let's go wait in Jerusalem. And then Peter's like, I'm done waiting. Let's go fishing. Hey, there's a time to wait. There's a time to work. There's a time to rest. There's a time to fish. But there's a time to wait. If we're supposed to be waiting, let's wait. If we're supposed to be working, let's work. If we're supposed to be having fun, let's go have fun and do it with all our heart. But Peter was supposed to be praying and waiting, and he decides he's going fishing. And when you're off track and you're not tapped into the fullness of God and God's plan for you, sometimes things don't go so well. And so Peter tapped out. He didn't tap in. And I've talked about this. Maybe Peter, they're all waiting, and Peter kept just thinking about that he denied Christ three times, and he wasn't restored yet, and that happened right after this incident. God wants us to step in. He wants us to tap in. He doesn't want us to tap out because we're under pressure. And when he doesn't, you know, Peter was probably beating himself up and had himself in his own stranglehold, and he just had to go. And you know, when we're out of faith, sometimes we don't have fuel for the race. When, you know, and the good news is Jesus went after his boys. That's good news. So it says, and Jesus comes to them, John 21:6, and he says, cast your net on the right side of the boat, and you'll find some. And they cast their net down. They're probably like, who is this guy? We've been fishing all night. We're professional fishermen. Cast your net on the right side of the boat. But hey, what's it hurt? They cast their net down. They draw it back up, and they're able to draw it in because of the multitude of fish. So they have all these fish. In verse 7, therefore, the disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, did Peter have the revelation? Who had the revelation? John. John tells Peter, that's the Lord on the shore. Peter's like, that's the Lord. Looks at the miracle of the fish, says that's Jesus. He just plunges into the sea. So he puts on his outer garment and he plunges into the sea. Peter was off course, yet when John told him it was Jesus, Peter jumped in. Peter might have been off course, but one thing I give Peter is when he knew he was off the path, he went straight towards Jesus. He made a course correction, and he went straight ahead. We need to learn from that. And then he gets his faith restored because Jesus gets with him and just does the whole, do you love me, Peter, on the shore, and he gets restored. So when you find yourself off course, don't delay. Just get back on. And we need to step in, don't step out. We need to tap in, don't tap out because of pain or fear or whatever. I mean, Thomas was a great example. Thomas, after the resurrection, he was busted up. His faith was busted up. His hope was busted. Thomas was like, man, everything fell apart. Jesus got crucified. They're probably after all of us to kill us. How long am I going to live? He's like, Thomas was down. And the other disciples said, hey, we've seen Jesus, John 20:25. And so he said to them, unless I see his hands and put my hand in my finger in the print of the nail and put my hand into his side, I'm not going to believe. Whoa. Thomas just said straight up, he walked with Jesus 3 years. He said, I will not believe. How many know that's like, I will not believe, and this race of faith, that's opposites. Thomas was off the track. But after 8 days, in John 20:26, it says Thomas was with them, and Jesus came in and just kind of walks through the wall, and he says, peace be with you. And Thomas is like, and he's like, reach in here and put your finger. And he's thinking, you heard that? Love you, Jesus. Just joking, kind of. I was just messing. Touch me, put your finger in here and into my side. But Jesus said something to him. He said, do not be unbelieving, but believe. When we find ourselves unbelieving, we're off track. And Jesus gets Thomas back on track. He comes after his. So his first thing, he's crucified. He goes after and he gets Thomas and restores Thomas. He goes after Peter and he restores Peter. Are you with me? Jesus comes after us. He's always wanting to restore us. We get stuck and we just think we're just stuck there. Jesus is calling out. Jesus is coming after. In Romans 10:17, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. And after he heard it, but then Jesus said something to Thomas. He said, blessed are those who've not seen and yet believe. We have the word of God. We don't need to see. Jesus basically said, faith doesn't come by seeing. He's saying faith comes by hearing and hearing the word of God. Seeing comes after believing. Thomas was saying, basically, I'll believe, I'll have faith when I see. And Jesus is like, no, how about you believe and then you'll see? You got it backwards. And blessed are those who stay in faith. Blessed are those we're called to run the race. We need to run the race. We need to stay in. Number two is obstacles to avoid. It says, therefore, we also, since we're surrounded by such a great cloud of witness, let's lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. It's interesting, the word race in the Greek, this Greek word is agon, and it means, it's where we get the word agony. Now you're like, that's not very encouraging on Father's Day. I'm a graduate, and I've got a course ahead of me, and you're telling me it's agony, you know? Just stay with me. But this is the word. And in the word, actually, it's only translated race once right here. The other translations is conflict, fight, and contention. You say, well, what are you saying? It might better be understood if we called it, we're running an obstacle course. Have you seen the mud challenges? Have you seen the obstacle courses? Everybody's all into them. Whoa, that's awesome. And they got to jump up and do this and do all these crazy things. And that's what your faith is. So next time you have an obstacle and you're like, I can't believe there's an obstacle. It says it's an obstacle course. That's the word he used when he said that this is the race we're in. It's not a flat 3K, 5K, 3 mile walk, whatever. It's not what it is. It's not a track race. It's an obstacle course. Well, if you told me I was running an obstacle course, I'd have been prepared. I'm covered with mud. Strained myself going over that wall. Huh? Had things flying at me. I had to duck and dodge. Didn't duck that one. Look at that black eye. Whoa. But as Christians, that's what happens. But don't be surprised. If we knew it's an obstacle course, we'd be like, okay, I'm into this. I'm ready. Well, that's what we're in. It's showing us it's not easy and it's difficult, but by faith, you'll finish. And Jesus would never tell you to run something he didn't equip you to make it to the finish line. And Peter, interesting, like, you know, if you study wars and battles, that a lot of people, you know, there's friendly fire and they get shot by their own team, which is ridiculous. One time we were paintballing and I got shot in the back by my team member. I'm out and I'm holding up my gun. I'm like, wait, it's in the back. I'm facing all the enemies. Dude, you shot me in the back. Serious. I'm like, I run, I charge. I want to get right at them. We'll trick them all. Let's just do this tag team. I'll run, you cover, and then you run and I'll cover. And pretty soon they were gone. I don't even know who it was. I can't remember now. But they basically stopped running with me. So I'm like, I'll charge by myself. I got shot in the back. They shot me in the back. They did not only cover me, they shot me. Just saying. Peter is down on himself. Peter shot himself. Peter denied Christ 3 times. And then Peter's like going, Peter, you shot yourself. So sometimes we can have a self-inflicted wound. And when you're in that zone, sometimes we don't even know when we can hear the voice of God and not even know it. Peter's in the boat. And they're fishing, and Jesus calls out, and John's the one who tells Peter, that's Jesus. But he trusted John, but he couldn't trust himself because he had a self-inflicted wound. Sometimes we walk around wounded, and we're so focused on our wound, we can't even hear the voice of God. But you better be walking with somebody you can trust. You better have someone you can trust who can say, suck it up, it's a self-inflicted wound. That's Jesus. Pop, 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 snap out of it, man. You know what I mean? But when you have friends, they'll tell you that. If you don't have close friends, they're all like, oh, that person is like depressed on their own, but nobody will touch it. Hi. Oh, come on, we need friends that can tell us. You know what I'm saying? We need friends that are truthful. You say, well, some guys are too truthful. Come on, Art. And I don't like that because I know if I hang out with him, he's not going to play games. He's going to tell me the truth. Good for you. You're a good friend. Because people don't need everybody that just like goes, oh, you're wounded, oh, and then walks away and goes, he shot himself. That's crazy. It's like, really, seriously? Are you serious? So thank God that Peter had a John. Sometimes Peters don't like Johns. They're like, dude, let's take the world. And they're like, man, you're too mushy, gushy, kind of loving Jesus, head on his lap. I mean, head on his chest, sitting there like all sucking up to Jesus. He's like, dude, who's that disciple, Mr. Puppy Love over there? Jesus. And then some people, that bugs them. And then the one who's all got their head on Jesus' chest is like, man, you need to get over here. I don't want to hang out with you. I just want to love on Jesus. Can I tell you something? When John had his head on Jesus' chest, Jesus reclining at the table. If he's reclining at the table and John had his head on his chest, he had his ear towards his heart. And some of you are the worshiper, and maybe you're that more loving worshiper that's got a ear on the heart of God. You also have an ear towards heaven. Because if you have one on his, if you look at John, Jesus reclining, and John had his head on his chest, he had one ear in the heart of God, but he had one ear towards heaven. And when you have an ear to listen to the intimacy of the heartbeat of God, you also get an ear towards heaven. And God can tell you that's Jesus. But sometimes it takes a Peter to like get everybody to do anything, because everybody else would just be, you guys would worship forever. Let's go charge hell. Here, I'm going to give you your weapons. Let's go. I'm leading this thing. Okay. And I'll be the one who tells you, you know, I'm just messing. But you know, we do. We need friends. We need all of it. We need to hear the heartbeat. So, no clue where I am. Number two, obstacles to avoid. There's obstacles. We're in an obstacle course. So obstacles to avoid. 2A, here we are. Lay aside every arrow. I love the Passion Translation. It says, Hebrews 12:1, it says, as for us, we have all these great witnesses who encircle us like clouds, each affirming family's reality. I mean, faiths, each affirming faith's reality. So we must let go of every wound that has pierced us and the sin we so easily fall into. Then we'll be able to run life's marathon race with passion and determination, for the path has already been marked out before us. What I want to focus on is he talks about we must let go of every wound that has pierced us. Number one, lay aside every arrow. We got to lay aside every arrow. It implies that the arrow tip or the weight of the tip is still in you. You take a shot and the tip goes in there and the arrow could be broken off, but the weight of the arrow tip is still in. And it hinders you from running the race with freedom because you have this weighty arrow tip. So you not only have a wound, but the wound is weighting you down, weighting you back. And then he says, and the sin which easily falls into us. It's interesting, this word sin, you know, it's translate. One of the translations is offense. This word they use for sin is also translated offense in one of its translations. So what it's saying is that the arrow that hit you, and you have the arrow broken off in you, and you have the weight of this. So you got to get rid of the weight, and you also got to get and be ready for the offense. So offense stops you from running your race. I didn't do anything. I got shot. It's not self-inflicted. I wasn't a Peter. They nailed me. Yes, but you got to let go of the offense. You got to move on. I don't have time for dealing with the offense. I've got a race. We're on a pace. If we were running a race and somebody got wounded, I'd be like, I love you. You're on my team, but we have a pace and I'm a team leader and I'm leading this team in a pace. But the person who's wounded is like, the team left me. No one loves me. I can't believe they're not waiting for me. And totally goes bitter on everybody. And it's like, dude, there's a race. We're on a pace. You knew that when you signed up for the team. We're all running at a pace. And you're wounded because you're wounded. But don't go bitter on us. We're still your team. If we get the victory, we're going to stand on the podium. And we're still going to pull the whatever team we're on flag at the finish line. We're still team. And hopefully you'll get better and you'll come pick up the pace with us again. But like, this is a mistake. And part of the mistake is because we get a wound in us and then it weighs us down. And he's saying, get rid of that. So, like I said, Peter's was self-inflicted, but sometimes, you know, Jesus brought healing on that water's edge over some fish tacos. Oh, that was good. Maybe you're wounded but for no reason, but you still need to lay it aside. So 2B is lay aside sin's obstacles. And when it says this, it says the sin that so easily befalls us, let it go. The Aramaic word is the sin that is ready and waiting for us. So like you're in a race, but like if we were doing a cross country, there's mountain lions out there. Ah! And sometimes, you know, I just picture a lion ready and waiting. says he prowls around like a roaring lion waiting. Well, if we're all running in a race, do you know who the mountain lion's going to look at? Huh? He's going to look for the one who's wounded. And if he detects the slightest limp, that's the one they will focus on. They will ignore everyone and go after the wounded one. We were in Africa, and when we were in Africa, I think Taylor was with us. Emily, were you with us? When the guy had a cut, I don't remember if you're on that team. We went there, and we saw the white lions, and Josh was with us. One of Dries's sons, I think, had a wound from a skill saw, but I couldn't tell. Lions picked him off right away out of like a dozen people walking by the fence. These lions looked, they noticed it wasn't blood. They didn't smell it. He still had a limp from a skill saw cut across his leg. I had no clue, but they saw that he didn't walk proper, and they went up to the fence, ignored all of us, and stared at him as they just walked along the side of the fence between the chain link fence, staring at him. And you could be like, oh, look, he likes you. No, they like you for dinner. They're all like, if we get out of here and the fence goes down, that's the guy. They already picked it out at the buffet. So God's saying, lay aside the obstacles. And there is a sin waiting for you. And we have to recognize they're waiting for us. And we have to recognize generational curses because, like Teresa's, family, she'd say this. I'm not saying something she wouldn't have already said, and she has said, she's Irish, and so the Irish, there's a lot of alcoholism in the Irish, and she had alcohol problem before she got saved. And so that sin is like in the family, it's in the bloodline. So like, don't be stupid with that. That demon of alcohol is waiting to jump on you. So why would you dance with the devil that took down so many of your relatives? So when I got saved, I'm more analytical. I'm like, tell me the sins of our fathers and forefathers and let me look at them, and I'm going to avoid that. So my father was a gambler. He threw away his marriage and was gambling and drinking, and there was substance abuse. So when I got saved, I'm like, I don't want to touch it at all because there's an addiction problem in our family, so I just choose not to touch it at all. But like, because I don't want that thing. I'm not going to dance with the devil that took down my father or my family or my forefathers, because there is sin crouching, waiting. And you all have a weakness or a bent. And whatever it is, whether it's depression or whether it's a John or whether it's a Peter, whether you're the bold outward and it's pride, or whatever, Peter's could have been the sin that's waiting for him. We all have those bends towards something. We have to identify them and say, I'm not letting that thing jump on me. So you got to figure out what yours is. So I'm not going to tell you to look out for my lion. I'm just going to tell you we all have a lion that's waiting for us. And he tells us to lay aside the wounds, lay aside every weight, but also the sin that tangles us up. So if you've been tangled up before, it's like, don't do that again. You go to the doctor and you go, man, it hurts when I go like this. He's like, don't go like that. Give me $100. I'll do it for 50. Come to me. I'll tell you, don't go like that. Give me 50, save $50. I'm just saying, number three. Okay, I'll just give you a few things as we wrap this up. I got to land this plane. Here we go. How to stay in faith and in the race. How do we stay in faith? Just a few tips, just a few practical applications. If you find yourself sidetracked like Peter, I know it sounds simple, but get to Jesus. It says in Hebrews 12:2, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher. If you want to finish, you've got to look to Jesus. And sometimes we evaluate our race and our strength, our energy, our wound, our strength based on the people around us. So I could be like, well, I know I'm going to do better than Chris because I can do this and I'm measuring myself to Chris. Or I'm looking and going, well, I can't do this as good as Andrew, so now I'm lowering myself because I'm measuring myself to people's strengths and weaknesses. And I compare myself, well, I'm doing okay because I'm not as bad as brother so-and-so. I'm not as bad as brother, bad news. I'm kind of halfway. I talk good things, but, and then over here, you're like, yeah, but I'm not like, sister intercessor who's on the mountain. I pray sometimes. So don't compare yourself to people, but you have to look to Jesus. But what that means is not just, okay, we're all looking to Jesus. We're all focused on Jesus. We're all trying to, yeah, we get that. But who do you compare yourselves when you start to feel like you're going to come out of the race? Everyone around you? Because that's how you start pointing fingers. Liv didn't call me. She's my friend, and she didn't like do what I wanted her to do. How about you look at Jesus? Jesus was rejected and ignored by all his friends. How about you look at Jesus? Jesus was pierced through for our transgressions. Instead of going, it's hard. Oh, is it hard? Tell Jesus, it's hard. I don't know if I can finish the race. It's hard. It's like, Jesus, let me look to Jesus, was, you know, beat and all that, and he still went to the cross, everything they did to him, the blood loss that he had, everything that he had, study. I look to Jesus, and I'm like, I'm not doing so bad. The obstacles really aren't that bad. Oh, my obstacle course. Let me tell you about my obstacle course. If you compare yours to Jesus's course, how do you feel? Look to Jesus. If you compare yourself to Jesus, you'll always go, I can do this thing because he's in me, and look what he did. He was rejected by everybody, and he still fulfilled all. Whoa. He was wounded for our transgressions. He still went to the cross. He didn't sin at all and was accused of the most vile and vain things. Well, I was falsely accused. I'm falsely accused all the time. You know, don't you think if you're serving and working, and if don't you think if you're a leader, you're never tempted to quit? Of course. Everything. Or don't you think you're ever tired? Don't you think you have obstacles? Don't you think you have lions? Don't you think you have... Yes. But if you look at Jesus, you're like, Jesus, you're in me and your power will help me get across the line. Because what is he? He's the author and what? Wait a minute. So he's the one who put faith in me. He's the one who designed me for faith. He created me for faith, but he created me to win. He created me because he's in me. Let me tell you this. Focus on the finisher, not on the win. Because, and it's kind of a trick because the winner's in me. He already won. All we need to do is get across the finish line. There's a race. There's only one winner, right? Who's the winner? Okay, now I'm going to children's church. Where's Jesus? He's in heaven. And where else is Jesus? Because if you don't say inside my heart, then I'm going to lead you to Jesus. Come on. Right? Jesus is in heaven and Jesus is in my heart. So the winner's in me. Oh, but I'm just self-inflicted. I'm my obstacles. The winner's in you. He's the author and finisher, and he did not quit. And he said, I haven't lost one. I won't lose one now. No man left behind. Going all the way. He's in you. And he, if you just focus on him, you'll finish. If you get your focus off, you won't finish. So practical, like Peter, that's Jesus. He dives in. He chartered the boat. He was the leader of the party off track. They were supposed to be praying to be filled with the Holy Ghost. Peter was the leader, but he left all his crew and dove in and went straight for Jesus because he did have this. He might have made some mess ups, but he was the first one to admit he messed up and go straight for Jesus. And that's what we need to do. Get to Jesus. Whatever it takes. You say, well, you know, I love Jesus and I have Jesus. Well, get to Jesus. Walk, run, swim like Peter. Whatever it is, get into the presence. You know, well, I don't need church because I am the church. I get that, but you really do need church because there's a corporate faith and a corporate gathering and things you get that fill you up. And sometimes you need to be around a John or you need to be around a Peter. You need those diversity, and you don't get that sitting and isolating by yourself. You know, I don't need a connect group. I go to the big meet. Yes, they went around from house to house and they went to the assembly. We need both. We need corporate gatherings and we need small groups. And sometimes we need a sozo. We need to go in for an appointment and just say, I'm stuck. I need help. We have a transformation center. Get an appointment. Go in and let them help you have that conversation with Jesus on the shore where he restores. Are you with me? Sometimes we need that. But go after Jesus at all costs. Well, I don't have time to do that. You don't have time not to. So one, if you find yourself sidetracked like Peter, get to Jesus at all costs. The next one, 3B, forget old records and set new ones. He says, for consider him who endured such hostility from sinners against himself, lest you become weary and discouraged in your souls. If we don't consider Jesus, we'll get weary. Why? Because we're looking at all our stuff. I'm wounded. And Jesus is like, Peter, feed my sheep. I know I denied you. Peter, do you love me? Yes. He restored him 3 times and he's saying, get past that. Jesus walked him through it and then said, feed my sheep, tend my, come on, get after it. Get on mission again. Get on track. So forget the old records. Go get you focused on setting some new records. He's like, you deny me three times, but how about you go in and rock Jerusalem and make history, Peter? And Peter got a new mission, and he's like, I'll do that. Because Jesus knew he just needed to be told and set on mission, and Peter was like a pit bull. He'll get back on it. So if you have a bad track record, set a new record. But get back in the race. Forget the old ones and work on setting new ones. And don't be a quitter like Thomas started out. People say, don't be a Thomas. I hope I could ever do even part of what Thomas did in his lifetime. Thomas started out saying, I will not believe. But Thomas went on to be an apostle, a great apostle. Thomas went on to minister. Thomas, when all of them spread and the persecution split up so many, Thomas rocked his faith. Thomas went on to do great things for God. And we can too. People quit on their marriages, their jobs, their friendships, their vision, their dreams, and worse when they quit on God. But you can get back in, you know, have faith and a good conscience, which some have rejected concerning the faith and have suffered shipwreck. You can shipwreck and Jesus will come to you and he'll be your safety boat to get you out of there, but he'll get you back on track again. Isaiah 43:13 says, don't remember the former things nor consider the things of old. Behold, I'm doing a new thing. It'll spring forth and shall you not know it? I will even make a road in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. Those are opposites. So if you say, well, I'm really feeling like this, great. He's good at doing the opposite of whatever you're feeling. And so we need to forget that past and we need to go on. Thomas went on and he preached in what is now today modern day Iraq, Iran. He went through that region, which is now Iraq and Iran. And then he moved on and he went to India and he hit the west coast of India and he ministered there. There's stuff there that shows Thomas's imprint still there. He's the saint of India. And he went from the west coast all the way to the east coast and ended in the east coast and died. And there's a grave there where Thomas was. He rocked India. We can have a comeback. Your test can be your testimony. If you just say, that's it, I'm not going to just hold back anymore. I'm going to go. And the last one, so these were simple. I hope that was simple. Forget the record and set new ones. And the last one is focus on the goal of finishing, not winning. And I kind of already said this, but, you know, we need to focus because Jesus already won. Jesus won and he sat down. And now we're seated with him. And we get to run the race of faith. And our job is to finish well. We finish well because we're carrying the winner across the finish line inside of ourselves. If we just get across the line, we've won because he's in us. Just finish. Just don't get off course. If you're off course, get back on course. Just don't quit and say, it's my party and I'll sit if I want to. I'm going to eat worms. Get up. Shake yourself off and start moving forward. Say, it's tough. Tell Jesus it's tough. Tell Jesus, I don't want to walk the race of faith anymore because it's tough. Get to heaven and tell Jesus, it was tough. And Jesus is going to say, what? I'm not trying to be not compassionate. I'm trying to say, if you compare yourself to him, I already said this, you'll realize it's not so tough. He said, you haven't resisted to the point of shedding blood. Jesus sweat blood. That only happens in intense, life-threatening situations where we sweat blood. And some people have on the planet. And it's a fact. That's where Jesus was. He prayed so hard. He sweat blood. We're not there. Listen, don't tap out. Don't step out. Step in. Don't step out. And realize that our race of faith is an obstacle course. We're going to avoid those arrows. We're going to avoid the sin that's waiting for us. And we're going to stay in faith. We're going to find ourselves. If we find ourselves sidetracked, we're just going to get back on track. We're not going to keep talking about our old mistakes. If we have an old record and a bad record, like Thomas had a bad record. You guys have helped Thomas to a bad, many of you have helped Thomas to a bad record. Thomas set a good record. Study his life before he died. Let's talk about that record. That's awesome. How about we just set new ones that dwarf our past? How about we focus on the goal of finishing instead of being so important that you're a perfect winner, because the perfect winner is inside of you. And all we have to do is be the son or daughter that submits to the perfect one in us. And anything we do good, it's because the perfect one's in us. We're never going to be perfect, but I'm going to strive to serve him and love him and let him shine through me. Would you stand with me? I hope you got something good out of this today, because you are in a race. And it's a race of faith. And it takes faith to run the race. But I just pray for you now. I pray, God, that you would just empower them with the faith that they're designed to have. I pray, God, that they would just find those 66 counselors every day. They would get a hold of the Bible and get a hold of those 66 books that will just bless their life and put faith inside of them. I pray, God, that they would just reach out and touch someone, and it would be you. And I pray, God, that your faith would fill them. I pray, God, that you would just bless them. I pray, God, that you would release faith in them every day. And I pray, God, that I pray even today that there's a revelation of your great love for them. I pray, God, if there's anyone who's been stuck, that you just get them unstuck. I pray, God, if anyone's off the track, you just set them back on the track. I thank you, God, that you're that God that loves us so much. And I just want to pray, if you'll just bow your heads for a second, if you're here and you just say, that sounds good, but like, you know, my first track, I've never been on the track. If you don't know you're going to heaven, then get on the track. And it's called salvation. And he didn't say it's tomorrow. It's not put it off. It's today is the day of salvation. Now is the time. You don't know that you have a tomorrow. You don't know you have a tomorrow. I've been around a guy who died on the job site. And if he knew there wasn't going to be a tomorrow, he would have got saved today. I'm asking you, today's the day of salvation. Are you ready to just make it right with God now and then walk it out? Because God's waiting for you. And he wants to put you on the right track. He is the track. Jesus said, I'm the door. I am the way. I'm the life. No man comes to the Father but through me. And he asks a simple thing from us. He said, believe the gospel that Jesus really was crucified, that he really did die, that he really was buried bodily, and he really rose from the dead in bodily form. If we believe those four things, that is the gospel. He says, if you believe this in your heart and confess it with your mouth, you shall be saved. So that's too simple. I know he won and we get the victory, but you get to align with his victory. So if you believe in your heart, you get to speak it out of your mouth, then you get to walk out that life, that obstacle course. But it's not reverse. You don't win the obstacle course before you can make it into heaven. It isn't a contest of whether the bottom line is Jesus did it. You get to receive salvation because he gives it to you as a free gift. So I just want to ask you with your head bowed, if you're here and you say, I want that. I want to know I'm going to heaven. If you just look up at me and just raise your hand and say, that's me. I want to know I'm going to heaven and I want to get it right today. That's me right here. Just acknowledge and say, that's me right here. Amen. Just say, I'm here right here. That's me. And if you're here and you say, I feel like I'm sidetracked and I feel like I know I've prayed that prayer, but I really feel like I'm like off. I'm fishing somewhere I shouldn't be, and I want to get back on the track. Just raise your hand so I know I preached to somebody who's getting this. Amen, amen, amen. Anyone else? Just say that's me. I'm just getting it back on track. Let's just pray this prayer together. Even if you didn't lift your hand, it's what's in your heart. Do you really feel like you want that? And my mom was so shy; she wouldn't pray publicly for years of her salvation. After she was saved, she was just shy. It's okay. God saves shy ones too. Just pray this prayer all over the room. Everyone pray this prayer and say, Father, today I believe and I ask you to forgive my sins. I believe the gospel and I ask you to fill me with your love, fill me with faith, so I can fulfill this obstacle course, this race of faith, in Jesus' name. I just want to bless you. Father, I pray you'd bless them. I pray you'd fill them. I thank you for faith as a substance. I pray they leave with it. I pray they take it with them. I pray every day they'd feed it, fuel it, and refire it up. I pray, God, that's you and that's your job. You do it. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by your word. So speak to them. Speak to them in every situation they walk into. Speak to them when they're crying out for their kids and crying out for their friends. Speak to them, God, and release faith for the fight. I thank you for it, God, and I bless everyone who's here. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Good stuff. Hey, I want to tell you, fathers, we got a bunch of Peterson's donuts out there, so treat yourself to some donuts. Have some fun. Fellowship. If you need ministry and prayer, there's a team up here ready. Come on up and get prayer. God bless you.